Krishna describes in 9th chapter of Gita, that the great soul, the Mahatma, is always under the divine protection of the personal energy of the Supreme Lord. Krishna describes in Gita, Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evaishasi satyam te brani janityoshime. That one who always remembers Krishna, one who offers obeisances to Krishna and accepts the position of Krishna's devotee, that fortunate soul will come to Krishna without fail. In devotional life, whatever we achieve can never be lost. Therefore, any advancement we make in Krishna consciousness is more valuable by millions of times over than anything of this world. Because whatever we gain in this world inevitably must be lost. Whether it is fame or prestige, whether it is wealth, money, material possessions, whether it is a nice family, a nice wife, nice children, whether it is power or beauty or intelligence, everything is taken away by the power of time. Sometimes time is compared to a black serpent that is constantly chasing behind us. And we could run for so long, but we are never away from this black serpent. Eventually, it devours everything we are and everything we have. That is why the great poet Govindadas has prayed, Edana Jovana Putra Parijana Ite ki ache parati tire Kamala dala jala jivana thalamala Vajahun hari padani tire. My wife, my children, my family, my friendships, my society, all my wealth, all my education, everything I have, my dear Lord, what is the nature of these things? Kamala dala jala jivana dala mala. Like a drop of water on the leaf of a lotus flower. Today it is here, and at the next moment it slips away. It is gone forever. That drop of water, which we are thinking is so important, so dear to us, within a second, it slips away, dropping back into the vast ocean of material existence, where we'll never be able to find it again. Bhajahun hari padani tire. Therefore, why not utilize the valuable time in our life to accumulate that which is not subject to the influence of time. Krishna says in Gita, Nashato vijate bhavo na bhavo vijate shata ubhayor apidristantastva niyasvata darshavi. That which is real has no cessation, and that which is unreal has no endurance. Reality means that which is eternal. An illusion is that which is temporary. So why should a human being with good intelligence spend his whole life simply chasing after illusions? With the same time that we have at hand, why not pursue that which is eternal? In this regard, there is a beautiful narration in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One of the very, very famous stories, which is often remembered and recited by great devotees of the Lord. This story takes place as a narration between Srila Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Shukadev Goswami describes that within the vast ocean of milk, there is a very, very beautiful mountain. A very, very high mountain. It is called the mountain of Trikuta. And such a beautiful paradise this is, that the ocean of milk is, waves are constantly washing upon the base of this mountain. And rather than sand, the beach is covered with beautiful emeralds, rubies, diamonds. In this mountain, there are beautiful, beautiful varieties of all auspicious trees. And each tree is only growing the most fragrant flowers and the most luscious fruits. There are also many very auspicious animals. Beautiful birds always singing with charming voices to create a very soothing and peaceful atmosphere. And upon that mountain there is beautiful rivers and beautiful lakes which are filled with lotus flowers and varieties of swans and ducks. In fact, there is one garden within this mountain, which is the garden created by Varuna himself, and which is one of the favorite places for all the demigods and apsaras to come for their vacation. Now, can you imagine living in the heavenly planets of the demigods? Where would you want to go for vacation? They would come to this place. That is the quality of the beauty of this heavenly abode. It is described that living within the jungle of this most beautiful atmosphere was one great elephant of the name Gajendra. He was the king of all of the animals in the forest. In fact, when he would walk through the forest paths, even the great tigers and lions, rhinoceros, they would all stand aside in respect for him. And the innocent animals, like the rabbits and the foxes, the squirrels, they all felt completely happy and protected because they knew that Gajendra would not allow any unrighteous acts to be inflicted upon anyone. So there was perfect peace, perfect tranquility, and perfect harmony. Gajendra, he had many, many most loving, chaste, and beautiful wives. And he had wonderful children who were obedient and very kind and respectful in all respects. So he was living a most pleasurable and successful life, far beyond what we can imagine, living in a city like Bombay especially. Of course, Bombay is a great city in many ways, but how can we compare it to this beautiful forest at the Chikuta Mountain. There were no traffic jams, no pollution, no terrorists, no standing in trains. It was a very beautiful natural atmosphere. So of course, like everyone who is enjoying life in this world, Gajendra was thinking that he was the controller, he was the master of his destiny. So on one very common, typical, and apparently normal day, he decided to go out with his family and his friends and enjoy a beautiful day in the forest. So they came to one very, very large lake, which was filled with fragrant lotus flowers. This lake had water which was refreshingly cool and clear like crystal. So Gajendra went into this water and became very satisfied and refreshed by taking his bath. And then with his mighty trunk, he began to drink the waters of this beautiful lake. And he was most satisfied. And of course, when we find something wonderful, we naturally want to share it with those we love the most. So with great labor, he took his trunk and began to fill it with these waters, these crystalline, refreshing waters, and he began to lovingly shower the waters upon his many wives and children and friends. And they were all feeling great happiness in the reciprocation of such affection. Of course, we know that the nature of this material world that is that calamity can strike at any moment. I'm sorry. I should phrase it more accurately. It is not that calamity can strike at any moment. Calamity will strike at any moment. This is the truth. No matter how nicely we arrange our life, ultimately we are not in control. Whoever we are, however great we are, however powerful, influential, wealthy, circumstances in this world ultimately are beyond our control. So as Gajendra was relaxing and enjoying life with his loved ones, at the least expected moment, the most incomprehensible event took place in his life. A crocodile with his mighty jaws took his sharpened teeth and clenched the feet of Gajendra. Gajendra was in great pain, and immediately he tried to save himself. But the more Gajendra tried to release himself from the mouth of the crocodile, the more the crocodile tightened and tightened his grip. And thus a great fight ensued. Gajendra was thinking that he was the most powerful of all beings in the forest, which he was. But however great you are, there's always someone that will defeat you in due course of time. So they began to fight. Gajendra was trying to find his way out of the water, and the crocodile was constantly pulling him back in. Please understand, Gajendra was a very religious and pious man. But still, even though he was very religious, he was very pious, man, he was an elephant man, of course. He was still thinking that I am the controller. He was still thinking that I am the doer, that I am the enjoyer. And thus, because the crocodile was in the water, the crocodile was in his natural atmosphere and was getting stronger and stronger. But Gajendra, it was not his natural place to be in the water. So he was becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. And he looked at all of his friends. And he looked at his wives. And he looked at his children. And they were all crying. They were all trying to help, but they could do nothing. After all their efforts, the most they could do was stand there with tears in their eyes crying to see their beloved object in such a condition of life. Gajendra began to think in deep contemplation that what is the value of all these relationships? At the time of need, no one can help me. I have spent my whole life simply attaching myself to all of these objects of affection. And what can they do for me? In America, we say a friend in need is a friend indeed. This is a fact. Nobody knows who their friend is until there's a crisis in their life. Anyone can appear to be your friend. If we can get something from each other, we're very good friends. If I enjoy your company and you enjoy my company, then we're friends. Huh? If we have certain things in common where we can benefit one another in business, in social life, then we are friends. But when we are in need, when we are in a crisis, where is your friends? Then you know who is your friend and who is not. There are so many stories in history. The story of the Avanta Brahman. He had so many friends, so many loving relatives. He was a very rich man. But when his wealth was taken away and there was no longer any prestige in his association, no one wanted anything to do with him. They all fled. In this case, with Gajendra, his so-called friends and loved ones, they wanted to help him, but they could do nothing. That is why the Srimad Bhagavatam describes such associates as fallible soldiers. They are actually the army of Maya. They give us a promise in illusory form of security, but when there's a real need, they cannot help. So Gajendra realized that I have wasted my life, that no one around can help me, that I cannot help myself. And in this condition, he began to think that there is only one person that can save me, and that is the Supreme Lord Narayan, Sri Krishna. Nobody else. He is my only object of shelter in this world. So Gajendra began to pray beautiful prayers of love, petitioning the Lord to be merciful upon him. This is a very, very important story because it is the story of everyone's life. This is not simply a story of an elephant that lived on a mountain. This is the story of your life. our nature, our tendency, is to find comfort, to find security, to find shelter in the transient illusions of this world. But there will be a time in your life, either today or tomorrow, where nothing can help you, nothing can save you. Save and accept whatever you have done for Krishna. You see, this great elephant, Gajendra, in his previous life was a king. His name was King Indradyumna. And he was a very great devotee of the Lord. But what happened is, although he was a good devotee, that is not enough. We have to learn how to helplessly cry out for Krishna and Krishna alone. Until we learn that, we are not fit for the kingdom of God. So King Indradyumna, one time, it is described, after he became a little older, he turned over his kingdom to his children. He took to the life of an ascetic, and he lived in the forest, performing devotional service to Lord Hari. At one time, he was so absorbed in meditation that the great sage Agastya Muni came to where he was, and Maharaj Indradyumna did not properly welcome him. So Agastya Muni cursed him, that you are so dumb that you do not even show proper respect to a sadhu. Then what is the use of your human form? You should take your next birth as a dumb animal. I curse you to become an elephant. Huh? Now, was it really a curse? Krishna always protects his devotees. Even though he puts his devotees in a certain condition of life for some time, ultimately, God is good. God does everything for his devotees' good. Therefore, we find throughout history that great souls are always put in the most difficult predicaments. Why? Just to show the rest of us how to have complete faith and welcome whatever comes by God's grace. It's easy to welcome good things when they come. But the sign of a real devotee is he welcomes with a gracious heart even the worst, most terrible things that come upon us. Because he sees there's nothing bad, there's nothing worse, there's nothing terrible if we remember Krishna. Every situation in life is a perfect opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And the more apparently horrible things are from the material point of view, the greater the opportunity we have of surrendering to Krishna. And a devotee who has this vision is always peaceful. Because whoever you are, wherever you are, there will be happiness and distress. As long as you're trying to avoid distress, then you will be completely in anxiety when it comes beyond your control, and it will. But if you learn to see the loving devotional hand of God as the cause of all causes, then you welcome distress with love. Then there's no anxiety. Then there's no fear. There is no greater anxiety than fear. People are more disturbed and feel more pain by fear than anything else. Otherwise, why is the national budget of practically every country in the world spent on defense? How much of India's budget is spent on defense? Larger than any other portion. Same with America, same with Pakistan, same with Iran, Iraq, same with Israel, same with Russia. Practically every nation in the world, they take more money from all the people to put it in bombs and weapons and armies. Why? Because everyone is feeling the pain of fear. And each and every one of us, how much we fear disease, we fear old age, we fear death. We fear infamy. We fear that we'll lose something that we have. And the more you have, the more you have to fear. Correct? This is a great pain to the heart, to the core of the heart. But it is said by Govinda Das, Bajahure mana sri nanda nanda na abhaya charana ravindare, that when the mind fixes itself in devotional service to Sri Krishna by remembering him, then there is no more fear. Because in the presence of Krishna, fear cannot exist. Fear is due to darkness. Fear is due to ignorance. And Krishna is compared to the sun. In the presence of the sun, can darkness possibly exist? Therefore, Bhagavad says that fear personified is afraid of Krishna. So if we remember Krishna with faith, what is this faith? Faith is based on knowledge, not sentiment, but knowledge. Krishna says in Gita, Mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam, hetunani nikontaya jagadvi parivaratate, that this material nature is working under my direction. Sarva karana karanam, that Krishna is the cause of all causes. He is all that is. Everything is emanating from him alone. He is the absolute truth, that supreme truth from whom all other truths are dependent on. Therefore it is said that not a blade of grass can even move without his direct sanction. Sarveshwareshwara, he is the controller of all controllers. So is there anything that can take place in our life that is not under the control of God? Is there anything that can come into our life that is not according to his sanction? Therefore, a devotee who has this faith, he no longer sees things in terms of this is good and this is bad, or this is pleasurable or this is not pleasurable. He is simply seeing Krishna's mercy everywhere. Bhagavad Gita defines this consciousness, Brahma Bhuta Prasana Atmana Sochati Nakankshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. This is called the Brahman state of consciousness, where you hanker for nothing nor lament for anything. Prasanatma, you're simply joyful because you are on the Brahma-Bhuta platform of consciousness where you are seeing the spiritual source of everything everywhere. Krishna says in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. This is what is meant by Krishna consciousness. So although Maharaj Indrajumna was cursed to become an animal, It was all by the divine arrangement of the Lord. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani chajana bhavashani chabutani mamtu vedana kashtana. Because Krishna knows past, present, and future. He knew that this crocodile would come during the life of this elephant and force him to surrender to Krishna with all helplessness. And Krishna had a plan way before through this great sage, Agastya Muni's curse. You see, in the lives of the great souls, they show us by their example, that before there is victory, there is always apparent defeat. For instance, the Pandavas. Do you know what the Pandavas had to go through? They were put in a house of Varnataka, which was burned with the intent of burning them to death by fire. And they had to flee and hide in the jungles. They were given poison. They were cheated, and taken away from them was everything they possessed. Maharaj Yudhisthira, the greatest, most virtuous and righteous of all devotees, he was in a condition which is worse than being put in prison. He lost everything, his palace, his armies, his wealth, his prestige. And he was forced to live in the jungle like a beggar for 14 years. Not just for a few minutes. Sometimes if something happens not our way for a few minutes, we think, why is God doing like this? But for 14 years, he was exiled. He had to live incognito. And the most powerful warriors on earth during the last year in Virata, what did they have to do? They had to live. One is a cowherd boy. One is a carer for horses. One is an advisor. One is a cook. And Arjuna had to take the role of a dance teacher for a girl. Ah, such humiliation. Is this the jobs of the kings of the earth? But in the end, Krishna had to put these devotees through all this to show that my devotee never loses faith. My devotee depends on me in all circumstances. And in the end, Krishna made Yudhisthira the king of the earth. Similarly, in the life of Prahlad, how much he was being persecuted, how much he appeared that everything was finished. His father, Hiranyakashipu, was torturing him in so many ways. You all know the story. For a long time. But in the end, Prahlad was put on the throne as the king of the universe. So this is how Krishna works. And he has to use his greatest devotees to show the rest of the world what is the standard of surrender. And if we learn to follow the example and the teachings of such great souls, then our life will become perfect. So Maharaj Indra Jumana, essentially, in the life of his elephant, he forgot his devotional life to Sri Hari. But at the time of great distress, when he had nowhere else to turn, he had to look within his own heart. And then he remembered the beautiful stotras, the beautiful prayers that he had memorized and learned in an attitude of great sincerity in his previous birth. And he began to offer these beautiful prayers to the Lord from his heart. He wasn't simply reciting, but he was praying with his life and his soul. He was expressing his helpless condition of life, and he was turning to Krishna and Krishna alone. And Krishna, who is within everyone's heart, he hears our every prayer. He also hears everything else we say. And he reciprocates with us accordingly. So at that time, the Supreme Lord Narayan descended upon his bird carrier Garuda. And although Gajendra was in a very, very painful condition of life, he plucked a lotus flower with his mighty trunk and he offered it with great devotion. And Lord Narayan came down off of his bird carrier, and to the amazement of everyone, he took his Sudarshan Chakra and severed the mouth of the crocodile. Immediately the crocodile turned into a great Gandharva of the name Maharaj Huhu, who was also cursed by Devala Rishi to take this form. And Maharaj Huhu, with the blessings and permission of the Lord, returned to his heavenly abode. And then the Supreme Lord took Gajendra, put him on his bird carrier Garuda, and personally brought him back to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. So this is certainly a very beautiful story. But the meaning that this story represents to our life is most essential. We should know that any spiritual advancement that we make in our life will never be lost. At the time of the greatest need, it will be there to help you. Krishna never forgets anything you do for him. This is his love. Even if you forget him, he will never forget you. If you even once in your life chant the name of God sincerely, Krishna will never leave you alone. I remember one devotee. He became, after some time, very much influenced by his previous habits and his previous conditionings. And he became very, very degraded and was engaged in great sinful activities and was not at all participating in activities of Krishna consciousness, spiritual life. And our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he wrote to him, he said, because you one time chanted the name of Krishna sincerely, he said, you will not be able to remain in Maya for very long. Krishna will eventually drag you back. And this particular devotee, he spent many years in Maya, just chasing after the illusions of sense enjoyment. And then he was apparently attacked by the worst possible condition of life. He was struck with terminal cancer. He was told he had 6 months to live. He was in horrible pain. And all of his loving relationships and affections, he could see that they were all going to be dragged away from him. And in this situation, the devotee realized that the doctors cannot help me. My family members cannot help me. I cannot help myself. But because he one time chanted the name Krishna sincerely, in that situation of life, he realized that Krishna, he can help me. He began to pray that I have abandoned Krishna, I have abandoned my guru, but they have never abandoned me. And now by his causeless mercy, this is just what I need to surrender. And he surrendered completely. He was grateful to the Lord that this disease is the greatest benediction of my life, because it's exactly the perfect arrangement for me to surrender to you. If there was anything less, I would have never surrendered. And in that surrender, he felt great joy, great peace. Even though his body was not in such a nice condition, internally he was feeling ultimate fulfillment. And he left this world chanting the holy names with tears in his eyes. Huh? So Krishna is very kind. He is the most merciful. So we should know that ultimately we have to come to this platform of total surrender. And surrender is not like the concept in this world. If you surrender, it's because you're defeated and you give up. It's a very, very horrible, painful experience. But in devotional service, surrender is the topmost expression of bravery. It is the sign of the greatest inner strength and will. And it is the source of all peace, all fulfillment, and all joy. When we voluntarily give up all hopes in our own illusory opulences, and we put our life completely at the feet of God. My dear Lord, if you want, you can embrace me. If you want, you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. If you want, you can trample upon me, you can stamp on me, you can persecute me, you can kill me, you can imprison me, you can rake my body through coals, inflict me with diseases. If you want, you can protect me, you can caress me. I am your servant. You have every right to deal with me in any way you please.